Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Empowered Spirit Show with your host, Terry Ann Hyman, who is known for her teaching on tapping into the spirit. Join in and learn more about the energy of aligning with your deeper self. Tap into the intuitive energy of the angels, spirit guides, crystals, color, and light. Are you having trouble making decisions? Is your health acting up? Do you need a greater magnification of life to find your purpose? Call in for readings to catch your spirit, find your answers. Align with your highest vibration.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Empowered Spirit Show. This is your host, Terry Ann Hyman, owner and founder of Natural Forces Studio, the Spiritual Direction Academy, and the author of Confessions of a Shower Tapper, the ultimate guide to living your purpose with EFT. Wherever you are and whatever time of day it is that you're listening in, thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining me. I did want to let you know, if you're feeling a little lost in your life, or perhaps you just don't feel on track with your purpose, you can go to my website page at terryannhyman.com and get a free assessment guide to empowering your spirit. Check it out. What is stopping you from living your purpose? And if you are in need of some help, my Empowered Spirit program can offer you some. It's a 90-day private mentoring program that helps connect you to your spirit, teaching you intuitive development tools, Reiki energy, and creating new spiritual contracts for your life. So I'll be opening up some spots very soon for my spring season. So contact me for a free spirit assessment and we can get you prepared to start in the spring right away. Yes, you can find more about that on the empoweredspiritprogram.com website page as well. So I have been working on my vision and I get so excited. So even saying Spiritual Development Academy has thrown me off. Yes, I have been expanding my vision since January, using this winter energy of visioning and dreaming and just really opening up. So I'm so excited and we'll be sharing more about that later on as the year progresses and as I really build out this school for spiritual development. I'd also like to invite you to my Facebook group, the Empowered Spirit Circle. It's a private group that will offer you some private support, blessings, energies, articles, information on energy healing, and also support of each and every other person that's in the group, offering their teachings, their ideas, and joining in with the spiritual community. We're going to be starting come March a manifesting meditation in there and really building our energy as we move forward coming into that spring equinox. So definitely join. All you have to do is ask. You can find me on Facebook or through the show notes as well. And I'd love to have you in that group. So much fun, the Empowered Spirit Circle. So how is everyone today? Lots going on in the world and in the cosmos too, right? Powerful new moon energy from yesterday, even continuing today, mixed yesterday with the solar eclipse. Really marking a very auspicious time for us right now as we allow ourselves to really acknowledge this energy and align with the cosmos. They're really helping us right now this time to release Pisces energy, helping us to release self-destructive addictions, unwanted habits, excessive drinking, smoking, things like this, things that we really know are not good for us. This is the time to really set those intentions to create greater habits and rituals for greater health and wellness. This energy of Pisces also opens us up to our intuitive energy, really opening up that ability to come into that empathic parts of who we are. So yes, practicing your intuitive skills, as many of you know, I teach those and love them, will really be a time for you to really own them right now. But maybe you are, maybe you're struggling with how to own them, how to know about them, how to have confidence in it, or maybe you're even struggling about a spiritual practice. Maybe you know you need to make some of these changes, but just get a little confused. There's so many diets out there. Maybe you just don't know how. But my guest today, I'm very excited and very fortunate to have her, a master teacher, Arkana Shunya. She'll be with us very soon, offering more about her brand new book, Ayurvedic Lifestyle Wisdom, recently released and already a bestseller. She'll be offering us exactly these kind of things that can help you to bring these new intentions into your life. So let's just take a moment and ground our energies together and center. So wherever you are, if you can, just take a nice deep inhale and exhale, sending that breath all the way down deep into the earth, letting go of all the running around you've done already today. Inhaling, bringing that breath back up through the body, up into the heavens. And exhale, sending that energy all the way back down deep in the earth. And let us just center our energy as we call in Divine Spirit, our masters, our teachers, the archangels, and our own spirit guides. We ask that they work with us and through us to surround us and protect us as we offer this work today. Let us just take this moment and offer gratitude for the sacred elements in our life, for the fire, the air, the earth, and the water. Let us take a moment and honor those elements, sending love and light out to all those at Standing Rock, all those who are protecting our water. Yes, the energy is still going on. There is a movement helping us to really protect all those things for us. Inhaling and honoring our place right here in the season of winter, honoring the directions to the north and the south and the east and the west. Above us, below us, right into the very center, asking for anything less than light to be gone, and only the highest vibrations be with you as you move through this week. Opening up to spirit, to that intuitive energy that surrounds us, taking a nice deep inhale and exhale. As I draw an angel card for guidance for this week, two came out, stuck together. I love that. So the first one is forgiveness. Forgiveness surrounded in green. I love this card. Pisces energy reminds us of this card, of opening our hearts to love and forgiveness. Forgiveness frees you. Forgiveness frees you. Also finding that energy in the heart chakra to open up, to let go of those things that keep you stuck in hurt and pain. Open up. Forgiveness frees you to move forward. And the next card that was stuck right behind it was focus. Yes, it's a good time to focus our energies. This new moon helps us to do that, helps us to take this ability to create these new intentions. That's what focusing is about when we start talking about intentions and manifesting. So both beautiful cards, maybe they both speak to you. You can find signs of them this week as you move through the energy, and all the many things that surround us right now. So just taking a deep inhale and just coming back. Feel your feet flat on the floor. Opening up the eyes. All right. So my guest today, I'm very excited to have her on, Arkarya Shunya, is one of the extraordinary teachers of the living embodied wisdom of Ayurveda. She transmits it through the roots of her ancient family lineage, as well as throughout her newest book, Ayurveda Lifestyle Wisdom, published by Sounds True, just really coming out this month, in which Shunya awakens the power to abiding health, all naturally and with ease. Shunya is the driving force behind the Vedika Global, a wisdom school dedicated to awakening health and consciousness by illuminating the sciences of Ayurveda, yoga, and Vedanta. She is a sought-after speaker who delivers keynote addresses at national and international conferences. Shun is the president of California Association of Ayurvedic Medicine and is advisor to several noteworthy national and international organizations, including to the Government of India on International Ayurveda and Yoga Affairs. She was recognized as one of the top 100 trailblazers of Ayurvedic and yoga in America by Spirituality and Health magazine in 2015, and awarded for her distinguished service in Ayurveda and yoga by the California Institute of Integral Studies in San Francisco. She has a couple of different websites and is also on Facebook, vedikaglobal.org, arikunashana.com, both of these of which are in the show notes. Well, let's bring her on and talk. Good morning.
Good morning, Terry. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations, your book already a bestseller.
Yeah, that was such grace, and, you know, I put such heart in it. And I also know that people who have already been exposed to yoga are now looking for Ayurveda, and also just there is a buzz that I seem to be, you know, feeling, and I've been teaching and healing for the last 3 decades in California. So it just is growing more and more.
It is. And, you know, I am actually one of those people that you talk about, because I was fortunate in my yoga teacher training to have Akasha Ellis teach us a little bit about it as a sister science to yoga. And there is so much out there. But let me tell you, your book, I love it. I have it earmarked and I read it in the bathtub, and I've been taking so many different tips out of it. It's definitely a go-to book. It's just, it's amazing. It comes at it from a different perspective, which I can really appreciate. I know some of the other ones are heavy into the doshas, and this includes that, but it takes it even further. Yes, so I think my listeners too will love it so much. But let's just take a moment.
I wanted to write a book, Terry, that's not just like one more book of Ayurveda, because I feel like people have written some wonderful books, and yeah, we've covered the doshas. But now I wanted to write a book that really talks to the spirit and takes us into a deeper philosophy of life, and also teaches like a universal wisdom, so we don't even have to diagnose ourselves. No matter who we are, what age, we can just jump into this lifestyle prescription and start like reaping health. So, you know, sometimes I feel like, because I'm an educator and I have several, I sponsor several clinics all over California, so I know that self-diagnosing doshas is not always easy. So I'm like, why aren't we teaching this other stuff that's so easy and yet so useful in overcoming disease and depression and suffering?
Oh my gosh, yes, I so love that idea. You know, I was talking about the book in the episode last night with my family. My mom was asking me what was coming on, and you know, we had a couple of conversations going back and forth about the doshas and, well, am I this dosha, that dosha? So you're absolutely right about that. And then the idea of that universal wisdom coming forward. And it did lead me right into telling them about the scrubs. I did do the mung beans, like you said, and the oils. And yeah, so I really can appreciate that. And that was actually one of the things that I have enjoyed so much, is finding these different rituals and finding these different ways of adding them in. And the spiritual aspects, too, of course, as a spiritual teacher, that fits right in line with what I'm doing. Absolutely. So let's just back up a little bit and talk about, like, what is Ayurveda? What is that definition for our listeners?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked the question, in case our listeners are wondering, what are these women talking about? So, dear listeners, you know, my name is Shunya, and I'm a promoter and ambassador of ancient knowledge system from India, known as Ayurveda, A-Y-U-R-V-E-D-A. And Ayurveda is the sister science of yoga, and I know all of you know yoga. And in the ancient days, both of these sciences were practiced together in an integrated fashion, but somehow yoga got forwarded to the Western world faster. But Ayurveda has now been around for almost 2 decades in America, and now it's like really, really getting out there. In fact, I'm part of a consortium. I'm promoting education through a consortium which has participants of 60 countries, and we're talking about professors and doctors and, you know, politicians here wanting Ayurveda in their world. So what is this Ayurveda? So Ayurveda, if we look at it, it comes from two words in an ancient language called Sanskrit, which means Ayush and Veda, and Ayush means life, and Veda means the wisdom of life. So really, it's a wisdom of life. It's not just a list of symptoms or how to manage disease. And it's teaching us how to live our life with such wisdom and such intelligence that we don't fall sick. And in fact, we awaken our health and awaken to greater and greater paradigms of spiritual consciousness, that we feel more expanded beings full of compassion and creativity and joy. And this science is remarkable because, in spite of being so ancient, it has knowledge that's really relevant for our modern times, and it keeps our self-healing really affordable, because as Terry was mentioning, we can use our kitchen and lentils and spices and garden flowers like roses and marigolds and lavender and all these things to heal ourselves. So I write a book for, this modern time, yet it contains, this authentic information without diluting it or dumbing it down, Terry, but then kind of making it accessible and sensible to, humanity in the 21st century. So that's what I do. I'm a bridge between these two cultures and this potential. Yeah.
Yeah, great explanation. Thank you so much. That was a really beautiful explanation. And I agree, yoga kind of got here sooner than the Ayurvedic wisdom got here. But yet I know for myself, I've been trying to learn it. And sometimes it can be a little bit like too much information. But one of the things that I did appreciate about the way you lay out the book is you're using your charts and using your time. And you're using things that we understand, like when the sun comes up and when the night goes down and, how we can use that rhythm of life. And so I can really appreciate that to help me increase my health. And it almost in some ways, makes a lot of sense, definitely. So first off, I did want to comment because you have a beautiful name, and I wondered if you would explain how you got your title. It's just so beautiful as a person in the work that you carry. Yeah.
My name, Shunya, that's my name, and that was given to me by my grandfather, who was also my guru or my spiritual teacher, and he comes from a long legacy of teachers in India. And he gave me the name Shunya, Terry, and interestingly, this name has two meanings. At an average level, it means zero, like the number zero.
Okay.
So kids used to tease me, zero, zero, and I was like, why did he name me Shunya? But then, when you go deeper, it actually means infinity. And, and I was like, oh, my God. So as I've been growing up, I've been, looking at this infinite paradigm within me, and even my book, as you saw, I've had the patients with, the grimmest of, diagnosis or prognosis, like people who are like really suffering. And I tell them that, don't worry, keep doing what you're doing with your MD, but let's connect with your infinite self and your birthright for health. And then amazingly, people are healing with all kinds of conditions. So that's one thing about my regular name. And then Acharya, it's like a chapter or a channel, And Acharya means like a master teacher. So I studied in a traditional school and I graduated with this title, which means a teacher of teachers. And in my wisdom school in California, we do actually teach self-care courses for, people who want to have a hands-on immersion into Ayurveda lifestyle wisdom. I call it, Terry, and jokingly, I call it the Harry Potter School of Ayurveda and Yoga. So okay. We can have a lot of magic going. But, for those serious students who want to go further, then we actually teach them to become really great teachers and physicians of Ayurveda also.
Yes, and so needed in our healthcare system, so needed. So I love it that it is definitely coming out right now. Yeah. So you had your beloved grandfather that had a lot of wisdom. Did you fight with him? Did you embrace it from the get-go or...?
From when I was a child, I was like his little puppy, and I followed him around, and I did everything. It's like I have a son who's 22, and I really missed the time when he was 2, and he just followed. I was his hero, and he, if they do everything you want them to do when they're really kids. And then I, yours truly went into my teenage, and I did have a rebellion where I could, sleep in when the whole world was awake, and Baba had persuaded me and shown me the magic of waking up with the sun and doing these spiritual rituals in the morning and connecting with a deeper source within me and chanting mantras and, eating some wonderful food because I got up in the morning to, make it with my mom. But then when I went through my teenage, something interesting happened, Terry. I activated some passive genes and my whole body went into inflammation. And by 18, 19, it was hard to walk. I often had to use a walking stick. And much later, I found out that I actually do have, I've karmically come with the inheritance of a genetic immunological condition. And it puts a lot of people with my condition or the name of my condition into wheelchairs or, narcotic, medicine for pain and or multiple surgeries. But then, you know, I there was reason to go back to that lifestyle of simply oiling my body, you know, with warm oils, which have an anti-inflammatory effect and also, you know, make me look beautiful or my hair look, you know, very nourished. And so Baba said, just let disease alone. Focus on health. Don't focus on what you want to overcome. Focus on what you want to become. And so that was my basic, you know, invitation. And so my rebellion was not met with anger, but it was met with love, and nobody pushed me into anything. And, you know, later I've quoted that study in the preface of my book, but a very important journal of science in America, in the United States, there was a study on epigenetics where they found that a three-month lifestyle immersion, just a good food, regular exercise, on 30 men with low-grade prostate cancer, they found that 450-something genes that caused the cancer were turned off, and 50 or 52 genes that were, you know, wanting the cancer to go away or not supporting the cancer turned on. So apparently what they declared was that our lifestyle can actually code and decode our genes.
Wow.
And I think that is what has happened with me, where I'm going to turn 50, you know, in next month, and instead of walking with a stick, I'm actually running now. And I feel like I'm younger than ever. So it's like I start chapter one with I've all these real life case studies where my young student Brittany Barrett, 21, 22, came to me taking 18 prescription drugs, medicines prescription, because she was having bleeding from her colon. She had ulcerative colitis, and she was told she'd have to live on these drugs. And within a year, she got off of everything. And, you know, why? Why? Because, you know, she activated health from within. And that's why, Terry, you know, my book is so different. This is not just based on fighting disease or even preventing disease. I don't want to have to deal with disease. I just want to deal with awakening health, period, you know.
Yeah.
And I have this. Yeah. And it's it's working.
So much you said in that. Oh my gosh, so much. What a great teacher you are. I can just imagine being in your classes. Wow. Because first and foremost, I love that idea. Let disease alone. Focus on health. Wow. Because so many times we nitpick the disease and try to fix it instead of really, like you say, focus on health. What a beautiful way of looking at that, you know? And the 3 months, I talk about 90 days all the time, which equals 3 months. So yes, and I believe the body's designed to self-heal. We need help. If we need help, we get it. But I just so appreciate what you said. We can find that wisdom and then, you know, your own self. And I guess, you know, sometimes we have to go through our own issues in order to open up really to who it is and what our purpose is. And it seems to me that's exactly, you know, part of what your path has been. Which gives you compassion to understand what other people are going through, right? When they're ill and sick.
Oh, totally.
And also,
I mean, I am writing another book right now, and my first words were that if darkness is your teacher, then this book is for you. Because I feel like my own darkness, when I, you know, came into a legacy, a family due to destiny or karma, and yet, you know, I went into my own darkness and denial and an alienation from nature, you know, an alienation from what was possible for me, and then some difficult relationship, and pretty much I crashed. But then once again, I was able to use this life affirmative wisdom to not only come back and survive, but thrive. I mean, I am a guru, I'm a leader. I have people changing their health worldwide, and so darkness is huge, and I bow to it.
Yes, I hear you on that, and I teach the same thing, like with gratitude. Offer it for coming in and look beneath, and what's the lesson, and, you know, and again, many times our life purpose can come from understanding. I mean, I know as a kid, I suffered, you know, from weight issues. I was the only fat kid in my family. And so that gave me the ability and the need to learn more about my health and wisdom. And it has a good bit of, you know, purpose in how I came on the path that I came on. You know, of course, when you're growing up in the midst of it, you don't know this. When you're in pain and suffering, you don't quite know this. But yeah, I think it's important that we embrace it. And I love that idea of let disease alone and focus on the health. I think that is a really beautiful statement and exactly, I think, what this book is offering us as well. So I know self-care is really an important topic right now. People are talking about all of it. And I would love for you, if you don't mind, sharing a little bit more about the oiling routine that you talk about.
Yeah, so, you know, most of us go for oil massages. I mean, I hope that we do at least a couple of times in our lifetime or more. And mm-hmm. we all know the impact of those. I mean, they're just like, they not only impact our body and muscles, but, you know, we release those happy chemicals, serotonin in our brain. You know, it's just, it's there, the touch and the everything. And then, but usually, and on a regular basis, we often take a shower, and then we, you know, moisturize our body. But in Ayurveda, the oiling ritual is like a daily ritual, and you apply warmed oils, not cool oil, because the warming actually helps with open the channels in the skin and, like, you know, and allow for a deep, you know, relaxation to take place. And cold is like physics will cause a constriction. So not room temperature, but slightly warm. And then we use medicinal oils and natural oils like sesame or almond or coconut or castor. You know, like they're hugely medicinal, and I have a table with all their benefits so people can mix and match the oils. And then it is said that every day for 5-7 minutes, take about a half a cup of oil in your hands and then gently massage it. No maneuvers or anything heavy. You could even do it with your closed eyes as if you're lovemaking to your own body. Mm. Really loving yourself like a little child. You're soothing yourself. And from your middle of in between your toes to, you know, everywhere you can grab your skin to your ears, and on a day where you can even apply it to your scalp, that would be great because your hair would stop falling out or, you know, turning gray too quickly. And then, you know, just take a shower. And then I've even, you know, given some recipes of homemade, you know, soap substitutes, which are really cool for your skin and prevent skin cancer and make it glow and whatnot. But this oiling ritual done on a daily basis brings out the glow and has, like, you know, reduces inflammation, you know, is anti-aging in its benefit, and actually has an antidepressant effect. And, you know, I have quoted the story of Leanne Brady, who's now very involved in my nonprofit organization and helps promote its charitable wellness operations worldwide. But she had come to me, this middle-aged woman, very pretty face, but kind of sadness in her eyes because she had been diagnosed with MS, multiple sclerosis, and she was dealing with inflammation and stiffness and pain and worry and concern. And instead of, like, talking about that, I said, okay, you've come to me. Why not you start just doing this one thing to love yourself? And I gave her this oiling. And that's what she did for 1 month. She loved it so much, she continued for 6 months and then on and on. And then, you know, after a year or so, she went to her neurologist for a regular checkup. And they said, my God, your MS is the best ever. And what are you doing? And, you know, you even reduce your drugs and what's going on? And she said, you know, she told them about what she's doing, eating an Ayurveda, some foods that help balance the body. She's applying this oil. She's leading a lifestyle of waking up at a certain time, sleeping at a certain time, when should be her heaviest meal. And then neurologist invited her to give a lecture to all her patients and talk about Ayurveda. Awesome. So, you know, these are just some amazing things which are like, more like self-love rituals, more than like those heavy-duty medical rituals. But yes, it's in this love that the chemistry or the magic happens, and the body, it wants to support us. It does. It's not it does. The disease. It's just talking to us. You talk about it, right? The disease is just telling us, love me more. Take care of me more. And Ayurveda gave us those practices which are tried and tested over thousands of years. And they seem to work right away. That is why someone like me who comes from India 3 decades ago doesn't know what to do or what she's going to do with her life. And then suddenly I'm the busiest woman on the planet because you help one person and then they tell another person and then they tell another person because this works, you know.
Yeah. Beautiful story, and I love that idea about the self-love rituals. I really do. And, you know, right now as we go through this new moon energy and it supports us to make these changes and make these habits, this is a perfect idea and a perfect suggestion to add this into your ritual. And I know, I mean, I questioned it and I've heard that you're supposed to do this. And I know when we talked earlier last week that I said, well, why, right? And so I did. I started doing the difference. And I think about it this morning as I get in the shower and the oil going into my body. I really did feel so much more loving and soothing. There was a little bit of a shift in energy for me with that. That was so nice to feel that. So it does make sense. And I love that idea. Again, Take away the disease focus and focus on what can you do to love yourself and create that wellness within. And so simple. And yeah, the book does. It tells you the different oils because there are different oils for different things. So it tells you that. And I love that idea too. And sleep, that's a big one for many people. And talk a little bit about that, about what times is good to wake up and go to sleep and the reasonings behind that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you asked me because I think humanity is underslept or just very distressed around sleeping. That could be one reason we all feel so cranky as a collective community.
Yes.
I think that, so one of the reasons, I mean, you might have enjoyed how I make, you know, how I make common sense persuasions. I have some relevant research here or there, but I don't try to overwhelm people. I just give common sense, you know, persuasion around where we are creatures. We are also animals. We all want to claim our God self or our spiritual self, but sometimes we also have to claim our animal self, you know, and I think it's wise to connect our animal being with our human being and then our God being together, you know. And because sometimes we forget that we have an animal being, and so we think that we're just like different from nature and we can make up our own rules. But if you look at all of nature, including plants, not just animals, you know, they all follow the 24-hour rhythm of the earth orbiting around its axis and then a 12-month rhythm of the, you know, the earth oscillating or orbiting around the sun. And these changes in light, changes in heat and cold, these changes in the movement of the sun across the sky, even though the sun is stationary, we're moving, but that impacts our brain, it impacts our gut, it impacts our physiology, our psychology. So what Ayurveda did was, it's not religion, it's not even promoting vegetarianism or anything. It's just persuading us to come back to respect these cycles and to be as close to them as possible. So that's why I have like a 24-hour map of when to do what. When is the time to, you know, answer your most difficult question or email or, you know, confront your boss for a raise. And when is the time to, like, you know, write a love letter to the one you actually love and feel safe with. So, you know, there are different energies that we were originally in touch with. That's how we evolved as a species, but I'm really concerned that we've lost it. And so what Ayurveda does is connect us to that, including connecting us to the most natural, most animal and plant guaranteed awakened sleep cycle. So we should go to bed by 10 p.m. And so for that, we should be like, you know, start retiring around 9:15 in our mind, by 9:30, 9:45 proceeding to our bed. And then I have talked about what are the things in the bedroom that would help, like, you know, what kind of music, what kind of aromas. And then there are some rituals that I've taught, such as warming that same oil, sesame or whatever, and just a tiny amount, like half a teaspoon, applying it on the soles of your feet, on the outside ear, and then, you know, on the top of your crown, like one or two drops, not to have an oily head, but just one or two drops right on the top where you have your antenna to talk to the rest of the world. And then maybe I've even given some chants in case people wanted to say them, or they can make it up in their own language, whether they speak Japanese or, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. And then people start sleeping. So I've had, you know, even just from reading this book, I had given this book for a review by someone for a magazine. My publisher sent it like maybe 2 months before the book came out. And then that person told me how their sleep after 20 years has become like 40% better just in 1 month of application of these practices. So, you know, these are like life-affirming, sleep-enhancing, anti-aging practices. So when you do them with the sincerity of a child, that this is what I'm going to do because this is what ancient sages who didn't try to make money out of it, they did not patent this knowledge. They gave it for all of humanity. You know, I'm just going to follow this and see. And, you know, that became a huge testimony for me in terms of this, you know, privileged or distinguished book reviewer kind of saying, yeah, this works for me, just like you're telling me that I applied the oil and it did shift my energy. And if you did this for a whole month, wow, what a difference. So sleep can really, it's not, you know, it's not a problem, and we quickly call it a problem. Then we medicate it or we go to expensive tests, and then it becomes a huge, big, you know, almost like a self-prescribed issue, but then it also has physiological, psychological impact. I had one person, he's now my student, and he couldn't sleep for years, and because of being sleep deprived, he was walking through the street in New York like a zombie and even got hit by a car. And so he had all this tragedy going on due to lack of sleep, and now he sleeps. He just sleeps by doing these simple things. And not just that, but then waking up at a certain time and following Ayurveda lifestyle. Not all of it, but say if I gave 100 practices, we could start with employing 10 or 5 and seeing the difference.
Yeah.
Nobody can do 100. That's crazy. And that's not the point. I think throughout the book I've been saying, take a few practices and make a little oasis or garden of well-being for yourself. And then you'll feel motivated to take up something else, Terry.
Yeah. I think that's a beautiful example, too. And I know many people do have problems with sleep around here. And I think also, too, not understanding the cycles and how they work. I think that confuses people, because I have people that say, yeah, I don't sleep well. I wake up at four in the morning. Well, maybe it's time to get up. You know what I mean? If your cycles were there, get up and meditate, you know, and then they struggle with, because then they can't go back to sleep, and then they get all confused, and then they don't have time in the morning to meditate. You know, so it's understanding these cycles, I think, that can help us, and then can also, you know, work with the seasons, work with that animal instinct. Light changes. So there are different times, you know, when the sun comes up, you know, as the seasons change. But I appreciate the information that you share and the tables, too. I think it's really very important for us not to forget those instincts. I really do. And I think that those habits can shift and change. And yeah, I'm going to do the oil before my bath for 90 days for sure. I mean, it does feel good to make these changes.
And
yeah.
Please write to me how that feels.
Okay.
So that I can celebrate your story with somebody else, you know. And
yeah. I ground up the mung beans because I do make khichdi. We can talk about that in a minute. I do make khichdi, so I had mung beans in my cabinet. So I took them and I ground them up. And so it's so fresh smelling.
Oh, when you smell that, when you're washing your face, we just grind up mung lentils, listeners, that you can find at any natural food store or online, MUNG mung lentils. And then you grind it up in your coffee grinder, and then you just in your shower, you just mix it with some water and, you know, use it as a soap substitute for your entire body. When you smell it, do you feel like this hope and happiness? Because it's actually supposed to have an impact on the mind, not just the body. Yeah.
Yes. It feels so fresh, and it just opens the senses. Yeah, today it's a little rainy and cloudy here in Birmingham. And so, yeah, my spirit was a little dull. I did my yoga practice. I got in. I did the oil, got in the shower. But it was like a uplifting feeling. And I'm sitting here feeling so soft. So, and I didn't put anything on after the shower. And so I'm kind of used to doing it backwards. I don't know why. I tend to do things backwards. And I don't know why. But I learned. I'm capable of learning.
I don't know if it's backwards. I think it's just your words, the way you want to make it happen, because the book is with you. So what you're doing is you're playing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just the way. And I hope you got it. I was trying not to make Ayurveda lifestyle this regimented discipline. And if you don't do this, this is going to happen. I don't like fear-mongering at all. I love hope and optimism. So you could just not oil and just do the mung and you're good to go. And then you add the oil and you're like, wow, you know. So it's start wherever, however you want to. And Terry, you might appreciate, because you've been exposed to Ayurveda before, that rather than just giving a recipe of here's what you do, the very fact that there is this book with my narrative, my stories, my childhood, the whole thing weaves into like a very gentle way of descending into a practice, you know.
Yeah.
That's foreign,
like that.
But yet relevant to us, you know.
It is very relevant to us. And I do like it interspersed with your history. It makes it very endearing. And I like the idea of, I mean, even you were talking about being in the bath. Okay, we might not have the Ganges rivers with us, but if we can relate that spiritual quality of what that river does and how the water in our bath, I think that it helps us to honor all the elements. I mean, I think that's important. We forget that. We turn on a faucet and there's water. But if we can take the time.
Exactly. And by remembering the sacred property of water, in a way, actually, we are calming the mind down, because the way people jump into a shower, it's like the mind is taking a shower, not the body. You know, we have no mindfulness around what we are doing, you know. The mental list is still going on of what I have to do once I get out of the shower.
Yeah.
So.
I think it's important that we do that. And I do love the book. It is a go-to. I mean, I've flipped through it so many and marked it, and I keep going back and reading other parts, and it's kind of like you can build, you know, that repertoire and that understanding instead of feeling like we have to understand it all in order to do it. And I like that idea of taking some of these rituals and just trying them and starting. And I think that gets into what you were even saying, you know, at the beginning of the show. It's like a universal understanding and that it can help us. Yeah, I know. I was trying to think of a way to describe it. It's not like a cookbook, but it's almost like a cookbook. It's not like an information book, but it's almost. It's not like a storybook, but it's almost, because you weave it in on all the levels. And I think that's really, really a beautiful way to have this. And I'm so excited for you to have it out there now. So tell us a little bit. How does one study with you? Do you have to be out in San Francisco? How does one study with you?
I have students worldwide now, thanks to technology. And, you know, so we have all our courses online, and I teach the spirituality and the hands-on part, and I have all kinds of courses, including recipes and demos from the book. And so people can go to either of my website. One of them is my name, which they shall find on the description in Terry's podcast, which is acharyashunya.com. acharyashunya.com, and that will connect you to, you know, study links with me. Or you can go to my beautiful organization's website, which is Vedika, V-E-D-I-K-A, V-E-D-I-K-A global.org, and that will also, you know, invite you from the first page into my world, and, you know, how you can take a short weekend course or a longer course over several weekends, or even an ongoing, you know, 2 times a month course, in which I teach spiritual wisdom. So, yeah, so there's so many ways people can connect, and I hope they get the book. It's available everywhere, Terry, and then also write to me how they found me on your show and what that did to them.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I think it's awesome that you're able to offer these classes. Yes, technology is amazing, because it's such an important study, and not to get lost, you know, and all the technicalities, and to really be able to embrace it and have someone guide you through, I think is really important. I mean, the book even talks about, here we're coming into spring. Spring is a great time for cleansing. I know I'm big on looking at what I'm going to do for my spring cleanse, and you have information on that, and that can really just really help somebody with their own health and wellness and get their digestive system going properly. You talk about Khichdi. I know many of my listeners here are familiar with that term, and we make it a lot around Birmingham yoga. So you have some recipes and understanding, even the ghee. Like I was opposed to ghee because I never really was allowed butter, right? So I never really understood that concept. But you even talk about that in the book as well, which I think is very helpful for all of us to understand.
Yeah,
better.
Like ghee is actually saturated fat, but now we know why. I mean, even Times Magazine had an issue on why fat is now important for us, and how saturated fat also is actually useful, because the body cells recognize it. That's what they're made up of. So, you know, all my weight loss, workshops and weight loss labs where people have lost hundreds of pounds of weight, we've actually given them ghee versus oil or spray or butter, and small amounts of ghee. And good exercise and following the lifestyle makes that weight loss happen effortlessly.
My yoga teacher, Kasia, I was in Mysore the other day, and we were talking about my diet, and that's always been a really sensitive subject for me and my belly, and so I've been working on it, and I have lost a little bit of weight, and he actually did suggest that I add a little bit more ghee to, like, quinoa or some of the rice or something and eat that. He felt like, you know, I needed the extra fat and I wasn't getting enough protein, so he's trying to help me understand it. And so I love that when I came to your book, I saw that information on there too, and it was like, oh, I see. This is what he means. Yeah.
Right. Any good yoga teacher would recommend ghee.
Kind of stayed away from it, but yeah, it's very helpful. So much wisdom to share. It's so great to have you on the show. I'm so excited for your book to be out there. And just as we kind of come to close, I just wondered if we could sum it all up. And I'd like to ask the question of how this approach and using the book and the wisdom in it, how it can really help to empower our spirit.
You know, when we, one thing that I want to say is that we somehow are, because when we awaken, when we become cognizant of the world, or we look at the world and we can't see our deep inner self, which is invisible, it's our spirit. So we just start catering to the world and dancing to the tunes of the world and just kind of often lose ourselves in the world, Terry, you'll agree. And
mm-hmm.
I feel that Ayurveda lifestyle wisdom is an invitation to create your own, you know, own bubble of self-love and, you know, your own value systems around food and lifestyle, and the world can be doing whatever they need to, but I'm going to go to bed, or I'm going to eat this, or I'm going to be applying oil, and I don't care if you wrote me a stinky email because I'm just about to hug myself by, you know, putting roses and marigolds on my face or bathtub. So
yeah.
I have found that it's deeply empowering, and I've had students with ongoing depression or low self-esteem issues, and we just start, like, working on their lifestyle, and that works for them. And then secondly, all the spiritual pieces, like connecting with the sun and the moon and the chants and the concept of divine powers of abundance and health and, you know, and knowledge just within you rather than without you, not outside you.
Mm-hmm.
All of these subtle teachings that I've interwoven throughout, they really, it's like a really a mind-body medicine, but also a highly soul-celebrating and uplifting system that I feel like it overall kind of puts people on a sounder footing, for sure.
Hmm. Yeah, I appreciate that, and I so totally agree with you. And I like that little attitude there, like, okay, world, whatever you want to do, but here's what I'm going to do to make myself more involved and more opening to that inner part of who I am. And I love the idea of roses and marigolds on my face at night, no matter what. I mean, I think that's really important. And I think that sometimes, you know, on the spiritual path, that sometimes we can feel a little isolated, like other people don't understand us. But when it comes down to really feeding the spirit, as you're saying, I think that that creates those values and those connections for ourselves. And I think that then we can be more empowered. I so agree with you on that. Thank you.
And I think
yeah.
also, Terry, that some of us have, you know, especially women, and I think I've seen it in India, I've seen it in America, I've seen it in other countries that I've traveled to, that we're somehow givers and caregivers. We are like maternally coded to be that, but then we end up like kind of not thinking that we can make time for ourselves. That somehow, you know, first comes my family or my job or my children or my pets or the groceries, but we just don't take out that time. So I being a woman, I being a mother, and I being a teacher and the leader of an organization and a foundation, I find that Ayurveda has given me like, you know, I deserve kind of attitude. So in the middle of anything busy in my life, you know, I'll just get up and go take a walk in nature, or I will, you know, make myself a healing recipe. And so I come from a place of deep, like, self-care, which is really self-love, and it's like a vibration of, like, I matter,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and I deserve. And that just is, then it comes out in, like, my better interaction with people also. Like, I'm wrestling less for power because I'm feeling the power. So I'm not trying to manipulate
awesome.
It outside.
I matter. I like that. Awesome. Yeah, and you're not manipulating that outside, but you're feeling really empowered and strong on the inside. Yeah. Well, thank you again so much for being here, for my listeners and for myself as well. I learned so much. I love your book. Good luck with it. I know it's going to do quite well. And yes, everyone, you can also find on Facebook. You have that, Shuna, on your Facebook page, and you share beautiful information. We didn't even get into the herbs and spices. That's a whole nother conversation, right? That's a whole nother conversation. But
absolutely.
I did find something on Facebook that you had posted about that. So you have a really beautiful day. Thank you so much. I'll keep you posted on how the beauty within me grows as I try these two techniques. Just even these
Thank
two, I'm
you.
Sure will add a lot. Yes. Thank you. Have a great day. Thank you so much. To your spirit.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. What a beautiful conversation. I can't tell you enough how much I love this book. From the moment I got it, I really, there's so much, and I know it's going to last me a while to look at it. I read it in the bathtub, and even just the few things that I've tried, and there's so much more explanation than we had time to even share. I mean, turmeric bath and musgrove bath and marigold bath, all these things, and being in season and being in time with our body, our mind, and our spirit is just so important right now. It really does. It helps us embrace where we are. It helps us to embrace our self-care. And as she says, our self-love, really making that a point. Yes. So just take a nice deep inhale, everyone, and let all this information settle in. And exhale out. What a lovely conversation. Thank you again. All right. So let's see. I'll be back next week. Next week, I'm going to be talking with, very interesting, the Maverick Monk, Spiritual Evolution Through Surrender with Vishnu Swami. So we'll be looking at a little bit more of Vedic energy. I'm very excited to bring him on. That'll be next week. Coming up in the local area, Friday night, 20,000 Freaks Under the Sea at Work Play with C4 Productions, a fun party. I'll be there offering readings and talking about the expanded consciousness, the ocean of consciousness. Yes, that's going to be lots of fun, lots of great music, friends, and to get out and have a good time evening. Reiki 1, I have maybe one spot left. So if you're interested, grab it up now. That'll be Sunday, March 5th. That's coming around. March 11th, the sound bath. Yes, I was on Talk of Alabama last week. How exciting that was to bring the sound bowls to the TVs of Alabama. So there is room. I know it is filling up, but cleansing the chakras for spring. You can find more information about that on Birmingham Yoga's website, birminghamyoga.com. I'm hosting it there with them. I'm very excited about that. The bowls and gongs. So yes, a good time to start preparing for the spring. April 1st, we'll be doing a North Node, Finding Your Purpose with Astrology with Lori Zielinski. Very excited about that too. Your North Node can help you with your karmic purpose. And we'll be looking at the South Node, which is kind of like past life energy that we kind of hang out in instead of following our North Node. Very interesting information coming with Lori. It's about half full. So if you're interested, please do go ahead and sign up. You can find that on naturalforcesstudio.com events page. And March 22nd, we'll have the spring equinox. That'll be on a Wednesday night. I'll be celebrating that during my normally scheduled Reiki and restorative classes at Birmingham Yoga. So be sure to follow me to get more updates on these programs. You can go to my website, sign up for my Facebook group. I would love to have you in the group. It is growing. Really like-minded people. If you feel like you would like a community, please do find me and let's join that as well. And again, my spring series with the Empowered Spirit program starts again very soon. And I am actually taking names for that program and offering some ways to start preparing as we start to move out of winter and into the spring. So thank you all so much for joining me. Let's just close the show by taking another deep inhale. And exhale out, sending that breath all the way down the body, deep into the earth. Taking this energy with you as you go through your week, your day. Remembering the cards we drew at the beginning, offering forgiveness to others to free yourself. And finding that focus for the intentions in your life. And this beautiful book, Ayurvedic Lifestyle Wisdom, can help you with that. This is your host, Carrie Ann Hyman. Thank you again for joining me on the Empowered Spirit Show. I'll be back next week. Have a great day. To your spirit, namaste.